Hey Wild Ducks. Welcome to our technology podcast. It's my pleasure to introduce the avatar of your host, Jerry Coleman.
Thank you, RJ. Welcome folks to the Wild Ducks podcast. Our series brings a personal and behind-the-scenes touch to trending technology topics, including AI, cybersecurity, and web technologies. Inspired by Thomas J. Watson Jr.'s Wild Ducks analogy, which describes innovators who challenge conventional thinking, the podcast features conversations with real subject matter experts and creatively fabricated guests using technology, all wild ducks in their own right. Today we continue a conversation between Jerry and his guest Irving Ladowski-Berger. Irving is a bona fide wild duck and a legend of the IT industry, leading early internet projects at IBM and now a research affiliate at MIT. Last episode, Irving and Jerry discussed the differences and similarities between AI and the internet. Recapping the highlights, Irving contrasts the internet's realistic goals with AI's initially overstated ambitions. However, he did refer to both as historically transformative technologies. Let's now rejoin Jerry and Irving.
All right, we're back with Irving, and here we are, part two. So let's just jump right in. We were talking about, you know, super intelligence, and I think we're starting to edge towards social and economic impact.
Right. Let's remember that every single technology, let me say every single historically transformative technology, has had negative attributes with it. You know, automobiles have been incredible. There is no question, but look at all the pollution. Look at how many people die every year from car accidents and so on. And, you know, we cope with it, but you know, it's still a struggle. And the internet has been incredible. I mean, imagine having to go through what we went through with the COVID pandemic had it not been for the internet. I mean, it's hard to imagine that. Or let me come down to earth a little more. You and I, me in particular, but I bet that's true of you too, lived in a world where you got to an airport and you were supposed to take a car home and you had to go find a dial tone and call an 800 number to let them know you were there. And that wasn't that long ago. And today, that feels as if I'm telling you about, remember when to go from here to New York, I had to use a horse drawn wagon or something like that. And young people grew up with the technology. But let's also not forget that with social network, people have identified quite a few problems with the internet that we're still wrestling with.
I mean, sure, privacy, all kinds of things.
Yeah, and people have and too much attention. It's being misused. In the 90s, when I was general manager of IBM's internet division, I had to spend quite a bit of time in Washington because, you know, they were trying to think of regulations. And one of the questions was, okay, so people will advertise on the internet. Is it okay to advertise to children? The answer came out, absolutely not. You guys do that and we'll regulate the hell out of you. And there were other things like that. So there were guidelines. And I think you have to be very careful with healthcare kinds of activities.
Right.
So there was quite a bit of thinking about what regulation was needed and was not. Now, right now, there are a lot of questions like that around AI. What regulation do we need? And let me tell you, in the first interview you and I did, we talked about when people talk about AGI and superintelligence AI and something like that as an existential threat. In my opinion, the real existential threat right now, not in 20 or 30 years, which I don't know, is cybersecurity, cyber attacks, and those keep increasing. And there is no question that AI makes it possible for me to get a call that sounds as if it's my daughter saying, you know, Papa, I'm in big trouble, do something, I need you to do something for me. And it's not Zara. It's
right.
It's something that can really mimic the word and so on. And in fact, I really think if there is something that we need huge advances in, is all the cybersecurity, but I'm including under cybersecurity all the bad people that are both nations and individuals that are trying to take advantage of nations and individuals.
That's right.
And AI is a very powerful tool to help them do that. And it's going to take us a while to figure out what to do about it. We haven't figured it out totally with the internet without AI, let alone
that's a good point.
Doing it with AI. So that's what I'm really worried about.
Yeah, no, that's such a good point. And as I said earlier, I think it's there's two parties involved. There's the technology providers, and then there's the consumers. And I think both have to mature. It's not one or the other, but maybe the bulk of it should go to the tech providers initially.
It has to because the consumers, you know, especially if you're in a hurry and you make a mistake, it's too difficult. And if you say, well, what should they do? I don't have a very good answer. And I'm part of a group at MIT that is very involved in cybersecurity. It's a really difficult problem. It's really, really difficult. And the bad guys, which include nation states, have some of their top people involved in this. So this is not just done by isolated bad people.
Yeah, I like to think we've learned a lot over the past couple decades in the internet. And while problems change, I think we can always draw inspiration from existing solutions. So mm-hmm. when we think about digital identity and two-factor authentication, like being able to apply that to AI, to have it,
no question.
You know, two-factor on the AI. And I think on the other side, on the people responsibility, the consumer responsibility, you can choose not to sign up for two-factor authentication, but wise people are, and word is getting out. So things that were very hard to find solutions for on the internet are now have some really interesting solutions.
Let me tell you, one of the conclusions of this cybersecurity group that I'm part of, that is led by Stuart Matnick, who I've known for a long time, is that most of the cybersecurity issues are not technology. They are people-oriented, where people, either as consumers or even in a sophisticated workplace, make mistakes. And that's when bad things happen. So there is a lot that has to be done. There is no question. And we need to learn how to do that.
Is there an element of Darwinism here, like our species evolving with technology, evolving the survival of the fittest, meaning the companies that provide the most ethical, trustworthy approaches will likely be the companies that form bonds of trust with their user base and maybe, you know, get elected to survive. And same with the people, the folks who keep making the same mistakes over and over again may not, quote unquote. So,
Jerry, you mentioned digital identities.
Yes.
There is an effort at the Linux Foundation to have essentially open source digital wallet software because the digital identities belong in your smartphone, and they belong here so that every interaction, every phone call gets checked out by the identity managers. And if they think that they are interacting with something that doesn't feel right, then they'll do something. Now, why do you need the Linux Foundation? Because the problem is every vendor, you know, in my Apple iPhone, I have the Apple wallet, Google has a Google wallet, Samsung has a Samsung wallet, every financial institution has its own app. And having each one of them handle it separately instead of having a common base, as you and I know.
I love this conversation. And, you know, I was going to ask you in a minute to take out your crystal ball and look into it to talk about the future. I think you started already. I do agree that as the internet evolves with things like shared digital wallets based on open standards, that's going to give AI
infrastructures
with
that every company doesn't have to do it from scratch.
That's right.
So that you have standards, as you said. That's a very difficult problem. It sounds simple, but there are so many moving parts
here. It is, but I think what you're implying is that said chatbot should have a registered digital identity.
No question.
Where you can trace it, you can verify it, and say, yes, I am.
And your smartphone, if all of a sudden some website wants to talk to you and it feels something isn't right here, will alert you. Something red will show up.
Yeah.
Well, you may still want to get around it, and depending on how it's done, I guess if for business things, the business say absolutely not, Jerry. But that's the kind of stuff that we need to do, and it's doable. There's no question.
Yes.
That it's doable, but it's not doable without technology assistance of the kind we're talking about.
That's right. And I think maybe we've come full circle here. And in the sense that one of the big breakthroughs of the internet was the creation of these amazing web browsers like Netscape that made, I think initially AI was going to be called something with the word complex in it. The internet was extremely complex back in the early days. And
you had to
technologies,
be a programmer to use it.
Right. But just to see that little lock icon close to know, like, I don't need to understand HTTPS or RSA, but I know that I've been trained that when that thing closes, there's a secure handshake that took place.
Exactly.
And now I can trust the website that I'm talking to.
Right.
If we can now bring that forward to AI,
I
think
similarly, when we started working on e-commerce at IBM, there were all kinds of technologies because people said, Irving, nobody's going to trust their credit card to buy things online. They were saying that in 1997, 1998.
That's right.
And we need, I don't know, different kinds of things. And it turned out that normal authentication, I forget the name of what we all use now, was good enough. People are using it. You know, there is some degree of fraud. Credit cards eat up some portion of that. But e-commerce has flourished.
That's right.
This gets back to your point that we co-evolve with our technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've co-evolved when it comes to e-commerce. There is no question about it. But I don't think we've co-evolved when it comes to phishing, PHI phishing, cyber attacks, identity theft. We have a lot. The smart people know what needs to happen, but these are problems that need a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, Irving, I can talk to you literally all day. And I think we have talked all day from time to time. So I'm glad, our audience gets a glimpse of one of our conversations here. So thank you so much for this wonderful conversation.
I hope they get a glimpse of how much fun you and I have
these
conversations that get for extension a lot of very good information, but we really enjoy it.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Irving.
Take care, Jerry.
Okay. That's a wrap on this two-part discussion between Jerry and Irving, discussing the similarities and differences between the internet versus AI. Check the episode description for additional reference material. Speaking about AI, did you hear Jerry has a new book out called Think Artificial Intelligence? Jerry is donating royalties to the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. So, buying is really a form of donating. Once again, we'd like to thank Irving, and we'd also like to thank you all for watching. On behalf of Jerry Cuomo, IBM Fellow, and Wild Duck, see you again soon. Bye.